You may be seated and turn your Bibles to Luke 23 and then over to John 19 as we preach this morning on, this afternoon, on the last seven words of the Messiah. The last seven words from the cross, a very popular study done around this time of year, year after year. But again, it's one that we need to be mindful of as we look at the last seven things that Jesus said before he died. We pick it up in Luke's gospel. We'll start with Luke chapter 23, beginning now with verse 36 says this. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, then save yourself. Now there was this inscription above him, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. And the other answered, rebuking him saying, do you not even fear God since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we're receiving what we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And it was now about this time, the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now in John's gospel, chapter 19, beginning with verse 23, these words. The soldiers therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. They said therefore to one another, let us now tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose shall it be, that the scripture might be fulfilled. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And therefore the soldiers did these things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciples took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And may the God who inspired these words now speak to us on this Good Friday as we look at the last seven statements of the Messiah from the cross. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, I pray you will speak grace and truth to us on this day that we call Good Friday. And I pray, God, that you will stir up our hearts and lives and bless us abundantly. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a question that I've often thought about and a question that I've often asked has been the question, in your final moments of life, in your final moments of life, what would you want your loved ones to know? On those closing moments that you're about to leave this world, what is it you'd want your loved ones to know? Now, I've asked that question to a number of people, and here are some of the answers I've received. Some have said, I want my loved ones to know that I love them. I want my spouse to know, I want my kids to know that I love them. Others have said that I wish I would have been a better fill in the blank. I wish I would have been a better wife. I wish I would have been a better husband. I wish I would have been a better parent. I wish I would have been a better Christian. Some have said, I would say, forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for the time I wasn't there. Forgive me for the words I said to you. Forgive me for the ways I've hurt you. Forgive me for the ways I never was there for you. Forgive me for the fact that I didn't meet your needs. Forgive me. Others have said, I would say, I know that I'm saved. And I know I'm going to heaven. So don't cry for me, don't grieve for me, but just know that one day we'll see each other again. So again, what would be your final words? On those closing moments of your life, what would be the final words of your life? The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record, if you will, then, the final seven statements of Jesus, the last seven things he would want us to know as he is dying on the cross. What were the seven things that Jesus said on the cross. He said, number one, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So here, Jesus is letting us know he is the one who's going to intervene. He gets between, if you will, sinful humanity and his Father. And he says, Father, forgive them. He intervenes. He speaks for us. He wants us to know that he is our advocate. He is our mediator. He also wants us to know that our greatest need is forgiveness. You see, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the reality of life is that we are all guilty. We have broken the law of God. We can't even keep our own rules, much less the rules of God. We are a messed up people. And the reason why I know you're messed up is because people tell me you are. And the reason why you know that I'm messed up is people tell you that I am. We're all messed up. And we can try to hide it, and we can try to cover it, and we can try to deny it, but it doesn't change the fact that we are guilty. And the common theme of Jesus, time and time again, is he brings forgiveness. He brought forgiveness to a paralyzed man. He said, my son, your sins are forgiven. He brought forgiveness to a woman caught in adultery. He brought forgiveness to the very ones who were killing him. You see, your understanding of forgiveness, again, is in correlation of your love for Jesus. I'll say that again. Your understanding of forgiveness, in other words, how much you've been forgiven, is in correlation to your love for Jesus. Mark, what does that even mean? It means this. Here's how Jesus put it. He says, those who have been forgiven much, love much. When you understand just how much God has forgiven you, then your love for the Messiah is way up here. But if you have gotten caught up in the understanding or the concept of the belief that, okay, so I told a couple of lies, no big deal, who needs forgiveness? Your love for Jesus is gonna be way down here. Because Jesus put it this way, those who have been forgiven much, they love much. And those who've been forgiven little, they love little. Number two, the second statement. Truly I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus wants us to know that heaven awaits to those who believe, that salvation is a gift. We're saved by grace through faith in the Messiah. And so here, Jesus is reminding us, and he's again responding to a terrorist who said to Jesus, this terrorist next to Jesus who says to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, it's not how bad you are or how good you are that brings you in or out of heaven. It's who you trust in to get you into heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this man was a terrorist. He was an enemy of the state. He was an insurrectionist. He was dying on a cross next to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, remember me. This was a bad guy, but Jesus was dying for his sin, just like he was dying for yours. Remember me. And Jesus turns to him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Once again, this thief next to Jesus could not go and right his wrongs, make things right, you know, repent of all of his stuff. He could not join a church, get baptized, or take communion. But what he could do, and the only thing that makes, again, the difference in salvation, is he could believe in Jesus. And so he does. The third statement. Behold your son, behold your mother. So here Jesus is talking to John. He says, John, when it comes to my mom, I want you to provide for her. And John, I want you to care for her. And John, I want you to love her. And he says, behold your son. And then he says, behold your mother. What's he saying? What Jesus is saying here is this. He's saying, even in today's world, I want to make sure you're provided for. Provision given by others through others. Jesus knows what we need, and he makes a way for us to have our needs met. The fourth statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So here, Jesus is quoting Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and I'd like for you to read it today, hopefully, is again a psalm about the crucifixion of Jesus 1,000 years before it happened. Psalm 22, Jesus saying, read Psalm 22, because it begins with these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that very moment, again, all the sin of all the world, of all people of all time was now placed on the person of Jesus. And that's why the word of God says, talking about Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin, that we could have the righteousness of God in him. You see, at that very moment, God is pouring out his wrath and he is forsaking his son so he'd never have to forsake you. And that was the moment Jesus dreaded his entire life. That is the moment Jesus dreaded as he is sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying to his father, Father, remove this cup from me. Don't let this happen, yet not my will, but your will be done. During that time, darkness covered the land as the finality sets in. And then Jesus says, number five, he says, I thirst. Fever and dehydration is now setting in. The loss of bodily fluids, the loss of bodily function. He is in agony as we get a glimpse once again into his humanity, as he is bleeding out, as he is suffering, as he is dying. As the living water now thirsts. Number six, these three words, he says, it is finished. But in Hebrew, it's one word, telestai. Telestai, meaning it's done. It's completed. It's finished. It was the word that many of the Hebrews would use maybe when a meal is prepared and it's ready. Telestai. Mom would say, telestai, it's done, it's ready, time to eat. Telestai, the work is done. Telestai, the day is over. Telestai, it's complete. Telestai, it's finished, it's accomplished. What is Jesus saying here? What he's saying here is this: everything needed for salvation to enter into heaven has been accomplished by Jesus. Meaning one thing, there's nothing that I can do, nothing you can do to add to what Jesus has already done for you. It is finished. And all we can do is trust and believe and say thank you for what you've done for me. And the seventh statement was this: Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Psalm 31, 5 of those very words, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. As Jesus and a terrorist, at that very moment, enter into paradise. And as the spirit leaves the body and goes into the very presence of God, that is the future of all believers. That is the future of all who believe. That is the future of all who call upon his name. And like Jesus arose on the third day, so it will be with all believers. We too will rise. We too will have a glorified, new, resurrected body. And all this happened because of the cross, because of the promises given. Because of what Jesus said from that cross, we have the forgiveness that we need. We have the acceptance that we need. We have the provision that we need. We have the promise of heaven that we need, all given by the Messiah. And perhaps I will argue that is why on that night that Jesus was born into the world, the angel of God said these words, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And 33 years later, the world saw that good news of great joy for all people. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation, the words that came from the cross, the words, oh God, that remind us that salvation is free, that forgiveness is real, and that heaven awaits all who will trust and believe. Bless us now on this day and during this season. And we thank you for the love we have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you're here. 12:30, just like we said. We're about to have lunch, and I pray that you will join us. I pray you'll be a part. And one last thing, and I don't want to put anybody on the spot, so just bear with me. But these times of eating and fellowship is about meeting and greeting. So if there's somebody you don't know, and that's okay, just say hello. Introduce yourself. We are the family of God. We're the community of faith. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so it's during these moments, these special moments, these special services where we get to really fellowship and make some new friends and meet our brothers and sisters in the Lord and just learn how to share life and community with one another. So I pray that you'll do that. I pray that you'll stay. We have a great meal planned for you. Let's stand for our closing prayer and also the blessing of our meal. And Lord God, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, God, for this day and the fellowship that we enjoy. Lord God, we pray your blessings upon the meal. We pray, oh God, that you will bless what we have done today. And we pray, oh God, you will bless the fellowship we have today. Bless us as a family. Bless us as a community of faith. And God, we thank you for those who prepared this meal. We give you thanks for our food as we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See you in a moment.